Om Shanti. We at the Brahmakumaris World Spiritual University are working with a view to creating a value-based society. So what does that mean? What does that entail? What does the individual do in that? And is it possible for an individual to make any difference? If you look at the world today, of course, you see so many things disintegrating, there's corruption, there's all kinds of problems throughout the world, and many people are feeling that, what can I do? I'm just one, I'm weak, I'm alone, what can I do? And so today, we'd like to take up the value of cooperation, to just address this feeling that is so strong in so many people that just myself alone, or even if I gather together my friends, it's still too few, too little to make any difference in the world. But we feel very optimistic, and we want to take a look at this value of cooperation to examine the process of how people who work together in a good way can actually have the effect of changing the way our society functions. Now that's a pretty high aim, and so naturally we have to be willing to put in a reasonable amount of effort and a reasonable amount of time, because we have to be realistic about this. Let's look at cooperation in the natural world. We are surrounded by all kinds of examples, but we may not always look at them closely as examples or inspirations for us. But let's take a look at birds. Now, the geese from Canada have to fly thousands of miles every year in their migratory journey, and it's an amazing feat. You see the bird quite little, wingspans, you know, about a yard or so, and yet they manage to take off and cross the entire ocean. How do they do that? The secret is in actually their application of the special power of cooperation. These birds fly in a V formation, and there's a special reason why they do this. Each bird gets a lift from the bird in front of him, so that if you are flying at the back, it's very, very easy. Turn by turn, different birds take the front position and cut through the air, create that space in that wall of air, and create that lift to carry the others. And in that way, turn by turn, they actually help one another, because if one bird would try and do it by themselves, or if only one bird would take the lead and everybody else would be behind, it would never work. Another beautiful example of cooperation is the beehive, or the ant hill. These insects, each one has a special role to play, and they all function in a very special way. They communicate with each other, they go, they do what they have to do, they graduate from position to position, and it's by that perfect cooperation that everything is accomplished. And the one thing that I find very fascinating about the beehive, for example, is the queen. You know, the queen bee, normally people say, well, the queen bee just lays the eggs and that's it. But that's not it. What does the queen bee do? The queen bee has a very special substance that emanates from her, which they call queen essence. And it's a very wonderful thing. The queen just sits in one place And all the others who were working, the worker bees, they do everything they have to do, and they pass by the queen and pick up this essence, which gives them that special feeling, that special extra inspiration to be happy in what they're doing. And what I mean to say by this is that in any task, in any gathering where we need to come together to cooperate, there are many different things that different people have to do. Because sometimes an individual says, well, I don't have any skills, I don't have any talents, what can I do? And so remember that queen. And of course the queen is the most important bee in the entire beehive. And what does the queen do? Puts out good feelings. This is a very, very important ingredient in cooperation. Because, you know, when we want to work with another person, we always think that our way is the only way. And the other person also thinks their way is the only way. But what happens is those two ways are not the same, because every single one of us sees things differently. Every single one of us is unique. Every single one of us is special. And each and every one of us has different qualities and different shortcomings. So how do we come together in a collaborative, cooperative way? Well, there's a number of ways that we can apply. Take, for example, dancing. The formation dancing that is done, one of the most famous examples of cooperative dancing is the Garba that is danced in Gujarat in India, where each one has to move in time with the others, and those movements are synchronized. There are folk dances from Russia and other places in Eastern Europe where the people move amongst each other in an extraordinary way, like a kaleidoscope, and all of it is based on cooperation. Cooperation is a very beautiful balance between knowing when to lead and when to follow. And so in the practice of spirituality, we are taught that perfection is about balance. And balance is about balancing two or more things together. And when something is in balance, it's always moving. And so a little bit this side, a little bit that side, a little bit this side, a little bit that side, and the thing stays stable because of balance. Every single one of us has to be able to assert our idea, our inspiration, our feeling. Because if we don't do that, then we are suppressing ourselves. And if we suppress ourselves, then we will feel resentment. If we feel resentment, when we give cooperation, it's not from the heart. It's out of a feeling of obligation and compulsion, and so it's not really cooperation, because inside that appearance of cooperation, there will be that feeling of resentment which poisons the result, and there can never be true cooperation. So therefore, we need to be able to have a large heart, a generosity of spirit, to be able to understand that what I give in cooperation, others will also give me in cooperation. So that when I am inspired and I assert my idea, then I have to have my power and command cooperation from others. And if the others then return with some different thing in mind, then at that moment I also have to become cooperative, and there is a continuous negotiation that takes place. This fluidity of negotiation is a very important aspect of cooperation. The word that we use quite a lot when we want to come to agreement about something is to arrive at that agreement by consensus. And consensus and cooperation are very connected with one another. If we agree to do something because the majority of people want it to be that way, but I don't agree with it, and I just do it because it's a good idea to go with the majority, and if I don't go with the majority, I'm on my own, and I don't want to be on my own, so I cooperate. But again, there's that element of resentment in it. So creating consensus is a very important quality. Consensus takes more time to arrive at than a vote where there's a majority and a minority. Consensus occurs when everyone involved feels their right to speak their ideas and their opinions, and when everything is on the table and everyone looks at it in a feeling of mutual respect and regard, a very wonderful thing happens on the part of everyone as it continues to be described and discussed. Gradually, the truth of that matter presents itself. And everyone looks at that and recognizes it. And this then becomes the base of the consensus, the agreement of everyone. And if there is anyone who doesn't agree, then you talk to them and you hear what their concerns are, what their worries are. Quite possibly there are some misunderstandings that need to be clarified. Because if something is really right and true, then its speciality is that people looking at it recognize it. It's a wonderful quality that is an innate part of the human soul, that ability to recognize the truth or what's right. What happens though is, for one reason or another, that ability gets broken or distorted or damaged. And so something we do which really helps is meditation. Why do we do meditation? Because it brings each and every person who meditates in touch with their essential selves. And the original state of a human being is absolutely perfect, absolutely pure, absolutely right. But we lose touch with it, we forget it, we get caught up in other things, we develop false masks, different personalities that are not really our own, to cope with the struggles that we encounter in the world, to cover up the resentments we may feel towards other people. But with meditation, you can move away from that. You turn your attention towards yourself, you emerge your original qualities, and you realize that you are very, very trustworthy, very able to trust your own self, and others are able to trust you when you do trust yourself. You become more authentic, more honest, more real, more integral as a human being. All the fragmented parts of your being start coming together to form a functional whole. And as you begin to feel this, automatically and necessarily there is an effect on your ability to recognize truth. One of the things about recognizing truth is that if there is any task that is worth accomplishing, it's always bigger than what one person can do. And if you think about it, say someone puts their name at the end of a book and say, "I wrote this book." Think about it. all the people who are involved. See, and you'll usually see in that book the acknowledgements. I wish to thank this editor, this researcher, this helper, this designer, all the people who went into creating a book or a film or a community, a school. It's all based on cooperation and collaboration of many people. So what we find, if we want to be really spiritually accurate, is that it's not really true for us to put our name at the end of anything, because there really isn't anything that is only done by one person. We human beings work well in teams, in groups, and it's very fluid. We come together for a particular project, that project is accomplished, we reform ourselves into other groups. Sometimes we remain together with the same group for a long period of time. A family can be that. You live your whole life together, and without cooperation, the household is not going to work. Someone has to create money, someone creates the atmosphere, someone is entertaining, someone is resourceful. All the different qualities together make up that thing called a life worth living. And no one exists by themselves. If a person does, then it means that they couldn't manage with others. And if a person is well-rounded, then what's going to be a sign of that is their ability to come into cooperation with others, to take cooperation, to give cooperation, to flow very well with this easy process. And it's all based on recognizing the needs of a situation. If we get caught up in our egos, then we become afraid to cooperate because we think that we would be exploited or we would be used. If we put aside our egos, then our focus of attention is to accomplish something worth accomplishing. And then whatever is involved, let that happen. If I have to do something that requires a speciality, let me do it. If I have to do something that requires me to be very simple, very ordinary, let me do that, but feeling equally about the two things. I have ego, and if I have to do something that seems to be ordinary, I will not value that part of the cooperation, and I will be unwilling to do it, and then the task cannot get done. Why? Because of my ego. If I put aside my ego and I say, okay, this is necessary, I can do this, let me do it, what will happen is people become happy. It's rather like taking on the quality of the queen bee, you see. Even if all you're doing is giving good vibrations, good wishes for the success of something, we should never feel that, oh, I don't have any qualities, I don't have any talents, and so I can't do anything, and just get depressed about it. But no, look inside and find the essence of your good feelings and then just spread that out. And in that way you're creating an environment in which something very good can happen. Because it's subtle, people sometimes think that it isn't real or it doesn't exist. But just because it's subtle, it doesn't mean that it's not real. Sometimes the subtlest things are the most powerful. Take homeopathic medicine. Each medicine is diluted and diluted and diluted. And something that's diluted 10,000 times, there's hardly any of the original substance left, but yet that is the most potent dose. And so take that analogy into the self, and even the tiniest little thing that we do, when it comes from the heart, with good feelings and good wishes for the success of the undertaking. That little bit is not small, it's really very big. It's just that we need to learn to identify the power of the things that are subtle. So, here we are in a state of wanting to develop that quality of cooperation. So each and every day, you can give yourself a little assignment to take a look and see the circumstances of the drama of today. What are they asking of me today? Because I have such a huge array of capabilities and possibilities. And so for me to cooperate means I have to be able to recognize what is needed from me today and then be easy and give it, be generous and give it. And then when something is needed from another person, because I have planted the seeds of being cooperative whenever it's needed, then as soon as I give an indication that something is needed, immediately there is the return of that and the cooperation comes easily and automatically. And that relationship with others is built up in a very beautiful way. It's not that I say to a person, I will cooperate with you if next week, if I need you, you will cooperate with me. That's very conditional. And that conditional use of our talents is based on the idea of doubt. And doubt is not going to help us. But rather, our giving of cooperation needs to have that unconditional quality. Because again, it is an investment. And so throughout your day, take a look and see if you can cooperate unconditionally with the trust and knowing that it is going to come back exactly how it's needed, when it's needed, and you will find that there is really nothing lost, but everything gained by giving just that little bit of cooperation. So here's an opportunity to practice this value of cooperation and just see the impact it has on your life at home, at work, in society. Om Shanti.